In today's episode of the Tradies Business Show, we're going to work out whether it's niche or niche. Apparently, niche rhymes with rich, but anyway, we're talking about niching. That's niche. We're talking about niching today and narrowing your focus in your business and just dealing with one type of customer.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
Hello and welcome back to a very niched podcast where we talk about business stuff for trades.
Fancy that.
And hey.
Thanks for cutting in on my little intro there, Michaela, and telling us how to pronounce niche or niche.
It's niche.
It's niche if you're in North America. G'day to all of our North American listeners. I had a business mentor that used to say niche rhymes with rich. He was based in the States. But the
sounds so
wanky little sayings yanky. Aside, there's a lot of truth to that, is that by defining a niche or narrowing your focus in your business as to who you deal with can really, make you rich, can really improve your business, help you grow, get better customers, more profitable, better cash flow, all those sorts of things. So there are a lot of benefits to niching in your business. It just means getting narrow. And narrowing your focus of who you market to in particular. And that's probably the biggest thing that we want to talk about in today's episode is, how do you go about figuring out what your niche is? And then I suppose, we can talk about some of the fears around that and perhaps some of the things to avoid. And then we'll make up some stuff at the end and then we'll wrap it up. How's that sound, Michaela?
yeah, that sounds good. Well done. So obviously why you're niching, touched on that.
Why niche? I think that's a big question that people are like, why would I bother defining a niche for my business or for my customers? And the simplest answer to that is with another, a saying is that by trying to be all things to all people, you end up being nothing to nobody. And it's that whole generalist versus specialist thing. You think about in the medical industry, and don't get me wrong, general practitioners make pretty good money, but they work crazy days, crazy hours. They work pretty hard. You look at a medical specialist, so a neurosurgeon. I've got a buddy of mine who's a fellow CrossFitter. He's a neurosurgeon in Brisbane. He does pretty well for himself, but he's a specialist, right? So he specializes on backs and back surgery. And I want to get him on the show actually and talk about tradies backs. But David does very well for himself as a specialist compared to a generalist. And, you can translate that principle straight over to your trade business. If you just do general plumbing or general electrical, you're going to be doing all sorts of different jobs for all sorts of different customers, everything from $100 call-outs to $2,000 bathroom renos. But you've got to be set up to handle so many different situations. Your systems have to be able to deal with all the different materials and job types, and then the skill set you need for yourself and your staff is so broad that it can make it really, really hard to grow. And you do lots of running around to maybe not make as much money as you could if you only did bathroom renos, right? And not only that, only did high-end bathroom renovations, for example, where you get very, very good at doing that one thing. All your systems are focused on that. Your skill set is focused on that. And you can crank those things out really, really well and make good money out of just specializing.
And the other thing is, your profitability gets better because you're refining your processes or you can cut better deals with your suppliers or you're just getting better at doing that type of thing.
Yeah, you don't have lengths of guttering lying around in your backyard or at your depot that don't get used very often because you've got to have everything there to cover all eventualities for anyone who might ring up saying, I've got everything from a leaky toilet to a leaky roof to a burst water main. You've got to cover everything. So you end up carrying a whole heap of stock and it can get very, very, you can put a lot of strain on cash flow. And it can become quite stressful if you really are that generalist type trade business.
Okay, so what's the process of finding a niche? I think this is where a lot of tradies get stuck in that, oh, well, you know, I'm so used to doing everything and that's what people know me for. But so if I do want to have a focus, what would be the process of me going about that?
Okay, so how the heck do you work out what your niche is? Is that, I think that's the question you're asking, Michaela.
Yes. Was I not clear?
It can be a bit challenging, and I've found over the years that perhaps one of the ways that works well is sit down with a pen and paper. So this is, I'm telling the listeners here, not you, Michaela, but sit down with a pen and paper and write down the names of your best ever three customers. I mean their actual names, right? Not Bob, Bill and Mary, but you know, what's the names of your best ever customers that you dealt with? Great jobs, everything went smoothly, you enjoyed the work, was good margin, they paid on time. Think of those three people, write down their names, and then write down everything about the job that you did for them. What was the work? Was it a bathroom renovation? Was it an engine rebuild? Like, depending on your business, what was the work you did for them? What was the dollar value? What sort of materials went into it? What sort of time frame? Where did they come from? How did they find out about you? Was it via personal referral or Google, or did they private message you on your Facebook page? How did they come to find you? So everything you can possibly think of about those customers, from how they found you, the type of work, how they paid, all that sort of stuff. And then have a look at that page and just see if there's any common threads amongst those three, or if you want to do four or five customers like that or clients like that, is there any commonality amongst them? You know, was it the same kind of work, or did they choose the same finishes for the bench tops in their kitchen? Were they referred from the same person or via the same kind of source? You know, did they all come from Facebook marketing, or were they all personal referrals? Just have a look and see if you can find some commonality amongst them. And that'll start to give you some clues about what your niche might be. You know, I generally find that people will say, the best work for us is doing, I don't know, patio extensions, right? Of all the work that we do, best thing for us is putting patios on people's back decks, you know, extending it out, doing a little deck and a roof. They're quick, easy, profitable. We're really good at it. The customers love us. We seem to get good work out of it. I'm like, sweet, can we make that a niche? Like, could you build your whole business on that? And sometimes the answer is no. Right? It might be, well, no, we couldn't survive if that's all we did, but that is really sweet work for us to do. It's like, great. Well, you can still market for that, because what ends up happening is it doesn't mean you stop doing all the other work necessarily, right? Or certainly not yet. But once you find out what you think that niche might be, and I'll give you an example of a client I'm working with at the moment. So they do performance tuning on vehicles, but within that, a specialty is, and they kind of haven't chosen this, but it just seems to be the work they attract, is turbocharged diesel vehicles, you know, patrols, Land Cruisers, Hiluxes, all that sort of stuff, tuning, custom builds, putting exhaust on them, all that sort of gear, right? So that's the kind of work that they then market for, because it's profitable. They have developed a bit of a niche in that area, and we're branching out into another niche now, which is performance servicing. So instead of taking your, you know, V8 engine converted patrol to just a run-of-the-mill motor mechanic to get the oil change done, take it to these guys. They actually cut open the oil filter to check for metal fragments from the engine. You know, they cut open the fuel filter to check for contaminants in the fuel. So they do performance servicing for performance vehicles. So they're really digging into this niche now. And it's working really well.
The other great example that, and I know they're doing really well since they niched, is Fernbrook Homes.
Mm.
Nicole Cox from The Builder's Wife and Fernbrook Homes that we had on the podcast earlier.
Mm.
Now, I have a 90-year-old falling to pieces Queenslander that one day I'm dreaming of renovating to be on the front of Queensland Homes.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Now, they specialise in renovating old Queenslanders.
Mm.
Now, I would be so much more interested in dealing with them than a general builder.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to pay more because they're a specialist. I get that probably getting them is going to cost more, but they're going to know the trends. They're going to already have the supplies in place. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, that's how excited you are. You're losing your voice, Michael.
Yeah, but that's my mentality. Like, I'm not even interested in really talking to others. I just want to know ones that have done Queensland renovators before.
And I happen to know that Nicole and Adam do a fantastic job, and they're very highly regarded and won some awards and stuff. But it doesn't mean they're the best renovator of Queensland style homes. Like, yes, they are very, very good at it, and they could be the best. But just because all their marketing says that doesn't mean, and from your perspective as a listener, you don't have to be the best bathroom renovating plumber out there for that to be your niche, right? I think a lot of people get hung up on the fact that, oh, if I'm going to specialize, I need to be the best at it. Well, you still have to be good at it, yes, and you got to do a great job, but your marketing just needs to actually put that out there. And, you know, talking about Nicole, her and Adam do actually do new builds as well. And all of their work comes from word of mouth referrals. So people that have had their old Queenslander renovated in Brisbane are then referring others who want to knock theirs down and build a new house. They still get that work, right? So
that fear of missing out on other work or niching is just not there.
And I suspect some of our listeners are probably thinking, oh, yeah, but if I niche down into just doing that one type of work, that's all well and good. But I'm saying no to all this other work out there, and how am I going to, you know, have enough work coming through? It's like you're still probably going to get the other work. You don't have to turn it away, not yet anyway, but you will eventually, if you stick at it and do it well enough, get to the point where you don't need to take on that other work. You just do the stuff that you love, that you're good at, that's profitable for you. Your customers get your best work out of you because you're great at it. Everyone's happy. They refer to you, and it really is an upward spiral. So it's there's a whole lot in this that a lot of people just never tap into the power of niching, particularly with marketing, right? Yeah. I guess the other I'm sort of talking benefits and trying to sell this to people here, but the other good thing about niching is, as far as marketing goes, you narrow your marketing down, which means you get very good at marketing and putting a message out to those people that you want to work with.
Yeah, and it's like you're focusing your marketing dollars, but your marketing attention and time. So your customer before that does turbo servicing, whatever that was, they know now that they can focus their efforts in those types of print magazines or those Facebook groups or those keywords.
Yeah, we've
those
talked in
keywords,
previous episodes about Facebook groups and that sort of stuff. It's like they know where to go looking now.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to cars groups. They're going to go to 4x4 time trial event groups or something.
Yeah.
Because that's where those performance cars are hanging out.
Yeah. And that overwhelm of I need to be everywhere all the time, it just goes. You know where you need to go, and it'll be amazing also when you niche about the connections and relationship you build with people that perhaps are another point in the service. So, they may develop a better relationship with turbo tire suppliers. I've got no idea, really.
You're
but
not a cars person, are you?
No. But you get my point is they can develop better relationship with niche suppliers.
Definitely, yeah. So there is so much in this that we just can't cover in one episode of the show. But I think the key points here are that finding your niche is perhaps I'm oversimplifying this a bit, but it really is just a matter of sitting down and thinking, well, what sort of work do I really want to do, or am I really, really good at? And then you have to add into that, well, is it profitable for us as a business? There's no good saying, well, I love doing, I don't know anybody that loves re-roofing a house, but, I love doing re-roofing jobs. If I could just do re-roofing jobs every day, I'd be a happy man or woman. That's no good if you say to me, yeah, but the margins on re-roofing are crap. Right, the materials are super expensive. We can't really mark it up. It's a really competitive marketplace. There's big companies in there making it hard for us to compete and win work. It's like, well, then that's not the best niche for you. Okay, so you've got to add in those other considerations. Whereas someone like Adam and Nicole from Fernbrook Homes, those jobs are quite profitable. They're high end clients. They're people who are willing to pay for the job to be done well and for quality work. They're not chasing the cheapest price, so that is a really good niche for them because it has those other characteristics. So you've got to take all that into account as well. And hey, you can have more than one niche.
Yeah.
You're not stuck with just doing bathroom renos as a plumber. It just means that your marketing for that service is going to be tailored and speak to those particular types of clients. You might also choose a secondary niche of doing irrigation systems for flash gardens and stuff, working with a landscaper and putting in reticulation for you know, landscaped gardens, and make that a secondary niche that you do. That's something, again, you can market out. It's profitable work. Customers have specific needs. So just think about, well, what are the two or three maybe that you could target in your business?
Yep. And if you're a Toolkit member, which is our private online community, tradiesbusinesstoolkit.com, we're going to have a avatar template so they can help work out what their niches are and those questions you went through and work it out. If you're not a Toolkit member, we better become one because it's going to be a lot easier. No, you can just get a pen and paper, but we're going to do something fancy.
Yeah, we're going to save you some time, make it easy for you.
Yes.
And take you through a bunch of questions that if you answer those, you'll start to get some clarity about, well, what is the niche or niches that you want to target in your business.
Well, off you go. Go do your worksheets.
I'm going to get narrow.
Eat lunch, I bet you.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
All right.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.